everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Squarespace. Why do I love Squarespace? Because here's the deal. We all want to have a presence online, don't we? I mean, whether or not we have a business or want to have a blog or a store, portfolios, whatever you want, you got to have people see it, and you want people to see it your way. When people Google your name, your site should be the first one that comes up, but it's hard to build a functioning site, but not with Squarespace. They make it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. You can customize everything. It looks really super professional. I've done it. You should do it too. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey people, let me tell you about a brand new podcast. It's called The Condabaloo Brothers. The show is taped at comedy clubs all around the country, from Brooklyn to Hawaii. It's these two brothers, the Condabaloo Brothers, and they are having fun talking about things that you've never really thought about, but they talk about things that you've never really thought to talk about, but now, once you hear it, you can't get out of your head. Like, why was World War I overrated? Or why should pizza not be your favorite food? It's a fun show. It's a casual show. So subscribe to the Condabaloo Brothers now and Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app of choice.
Brain hard drives, robotic street preachers, ghosts in the machines, a sentient dolphin, and a shitload of trash can fires. We saw Johnny Mnemonic, so you know what that means.
A nigga grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive? They call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth.
That's a good look, Haru.
And hello, people of Boston. We are here live at the Wilbur Theater. Our only home in Boston. That's right. The only place we'll ever perform. Fuck every other venue. We are so excited to talk to you about the most cyberpunk movie ever made. This makes Hackers look like an episode of Thomas the Train. All right? No messing around. This is so complicated, this movie, that within the first 30 seconds, I was lost. We'll get into all of that and so much more, but first, let me bring out my co-host. Please welcome Jason Manzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, Boston? How we doing, Upper Deck? How we doing, Middle? Okay, and how we doing, rich people in the front? Yeah. There are people in the world that are table people. That's some guy who keeps on yelling out, I'm a molester, I feel like. We got it. We've heard it.
We get it, bro. We get it. It's starting to now seem like a brag. I just want to say, I said it in the first show. I'm going to say it right now. These motherfuckers down here have tables. They've got drinks. You guys up there, you've got nothing. You are the low jacks of this theater.
Pull up your inner iced tea and then rappel down here and take their drinks.
Drop a flaming car on these motherfuckers.
and take what they have.
If you're in the upper deck, look behind you. There's a glass window. You think that's where someone is working lights and sound? No, that's a tank for a dolphin.
That's this theater is run by dolphins. That's right. That's the world we're living in, Boston. Straight from the New England Aquarium.
Sentient
dolphins. I can walk like a penguin. Boom. Boston references out of the gate.
Jason.
I'm from Mars. I eat all kinds of candy bars. These are Boston commercials.
Wow.
Raise your hand if you were in the original cast of Zoom.
Wow, it's funny. If you're listening, all the hands just went up in the audience.
All the hands. Everybody here was on Zoom.
Ready? Jason.
Everybody know the song? Go. You all suck. Boo.
Does not give me hope for the second opinion segment of the show. Jason.
Paul.
Did you see Johnny Mnemonic before
today? I wish I
today?
Hadn't. Wish I hadn't seen this movie. This was straight up bad. I didn't care for it.
Huh?
Top to bottom, T to B. Didn't like any of it.
I would argue this is one of the most insane movies we've done, and I know it because I've seen this movie multiple times. I owned it on Laserdisc.
Oh, that is like sad. That's fundamentally like a sad story.
I had such a love for Henry Rollins that I would
love
make
Rollins.
Sure that I would follow him anywhere. I loved Ice-T, and I was like, if you put Henry Rollins and Ice-T in a movie, I'm buying a giant laser disc that you have to stop in the middle of, take it out, flip it like a vinyl album to finish playing the movie. For those of you listening, Google Laserdisc and be embarrassed for me.
This movie, I was so angry. I'm watching it. I don't know what's going on. And then at the end, it said screenplay by William Gibson. And I was like, fucking, that makes sense now. Because I feel like whatever he must have done, he was like, these are the salient points that must be in. The initial crawl is, I don't know, two chapters of the book. I had to rewind it three times just to read it. And then I never understood what it said.
It was going just faster than it should. It was going like as if it was on fast forward. We should save that to talk with our other...
No, I want to talk about it now. I want to leap into this audience.
Yes, we're going to talk about the opening credit crawl. But first, let me introduce our guest co-host for the night. You know her from an episode that she did back in the day about Pluto Nash. She is fantastically funny, amazingly talented. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair.
What's up, bitches?
Whoop, whoop.
Bloop.
Welcome. Welcome, Jess. We have talked about this on other podcasts. But this is not your cup of tea, a movie like
not
this.
Not my genre. Don't care for it. And in fact, the thing I wrote to myself in my little notebook was...
You have a little notebook and you write to yourself in it? Dear Jess, we did it again.
I wrote, I took a real hit from my dear friend June. That's what I wrote.
Well, you know what? Oh. This movie is...
I don't like the future, Paul.
I know. You don't, you don't
you
like...
You are on record as saying you don't like the future.
The
especially
future.
If it is dystopic.
I hate the dystopic future. I don't like trash can fires. I don't like indiscriminate use of eyeliner on your face. I don't care for it.
Well, I mean, how will you know if people are good or bad if... They're not wearing like a little anarchy sign in between their eyes.
Yes.
That, you know, like I don't know
if that's good or bad. That's just anarchy,
either.
Though.
So we were talking before you came out about the opening crawl, which is so much information. I've pulled it up here.
I mean,
so
can we fuck
three
this?
Sides.
Fuck this right here. Fuck this. I fucking okay. Right here.
No.
The second
nerve attenuate. Like there's too many words
epidemic,
that are hard.
I mean,
and it causes the corporations, locus, like all these words that aren't real.
It's
wet wired. Does it say wet wired?
Can you play it from the beginning? And I want to read it as it goes.
Okay.
Just because I want to. I just want to prove a point that this is fucking garbage. And I'm angry. I'm angry that you made me watch this and come here to do entertainment for you.
All right, so here we go.
TriStar.
All right, here we go.
TriStar, winged horse, Pegasus, Greek.
Go.
Lives.
Here we go.
Here we go. Second decade of the 21st century, corporations rule. The world is threatened by a new plague, NAS, nerve attenuation syndrome, fatal epidemic, its cause and cure unknown. The corporations are opposed by the low techs, a resistance movement risen from the streets, is already going too fast, hackers, data pirates, guerrilla fighters, in the InfoWars, the corporations defend themselves. They hire the Yakuza, the most powerful of all crime syndicates. They sheathe their data in black ice, lethal viruses waiting to burn the brains of intruders, but the low techs wait in their strongholds in the old city cores like the rats in the walls of the world. Not over yet. The most valuable information must sometimes be entrusted to mnemonic couriers, elite agents who smuggle data in wet wired brain implants. Here's the thing.
You reading that out loud, and this is the issue we get in a lot with these movies. It only makes sense after you've watched it. I'm like, oh.
I would argue.
Now I get what I just watched.
I would argue it doesn't make sense even then.
Like in Star Wars, what do they say? They're like.
Okay, what do you think they say?
They're just like. They're like, galaxy far, far away. That's the right?
Yes, that's right.
That's part of it.
Some good guys are fighting the bad forces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Darth Vader was dead, or we think, and now he's alive.
Right. Well, now,
and now the fighters or the resistance are here, and we're going to see what's going to go on.
I would pay you $1,000 right now.
That's right.
To tell us the plot of Star Wars.
Pick one of them.
$1,000.
Starts with
cash.
Those tauntauns. They're in the ice world. They're in the tauntauns.
You're only saying tauntauns because we said it in the last show.
No. They sleep in those. Then they go to the Ewoks.
They sleep in those. That's not
a
thing.
You think they sleep in tauntauns?
Like, and he's like, I want to have sex with what? You're my sister? And then they're like, no, I'm going to use this Millennium Falcon to get around.
By the way, I love this version of Star Wars.
This is The Last Jedi. I think you may have all gotten all of your Star Wars information from Star Wars porn parody.
Yes. Quite possibly. Anyway, but my point is, that's at least digestible, right?
To a certain degree, yes. That you're right. You understand the main
good tenet. Versus evil.
And it explains, it sets up the world you're about to enter, and it's very simple, you know?
Right?
But this is like, this scroll should play three times in the movie. Once in the beginning, once in the middle, and once at the end. Be like, and then I'm like, because I didn't even understand.
Like a silent movie has like cards in the middle.
Yeah.
And here are the low techs, like, rats of the world.
Yes.
This
rats
is the Yakuza.
The
yeah, I need to know because when the low techs came in, I thought that was the first time I was ever hearing of them until I just saw. I was like, oh, I guess I did. I was so overwhelmed by reading that I got nervous in the beginning of the
movie.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing, too. I hate reading.
I know.
Of course.
That's why I watch movies.
Right, right.
I didn't come to read, like, a full chapter of this book.
Right.
I mean, this movie also has the weirdest beginning because, first of all, for those of you paying attention, it starts in the internet.
It does?
Yes. The first card up is, like, the internet.
Yep.
2021.
Yep.
And then it cuts from the internet to a hotel room.
Why?
Wait, when this movie came out, did the internet exist?
Yes. Oh boy. Such a good question. So,
what year did you think this movie came out?
And what year did the internet come out?
Let me see. All I can think about is, in college, Jason, we didn't have email.
St. Clair and I went to college together, everybody.
Middlebury?
Middlebury College, Vermont. Vermont.
I don't really care. I don't care when the internet was invented. Just tell me. It's like all being right with my dad.
You really don't know.
Wait, did
you should get a New York Times delivered to your door every weekend.
Fuck you, man.
Wait, did William Gibson...
I'll get my news by osmosis. Well, hear outside of a bodega, that's all I need to know.
Why are you hanging outside of bodegas so much?
You really are good outside. You tell people the right fruit to pick out of the bodega.
Yeah. That looks like a good mango. Oh, did something happen in a different country? Yeah. Anyway.
The movie came out in 1995. The internet did exist. Okay. AOL has been around for a long time. Not that that was the beginning of the internet. It started much earlier than that.
Yeah, but we were progressing past the O's and the 1s.
We all know that.
And I will 0101.
And I'll also say to Jason, we talked about this in the beginning, but I didn't want to correct you just early enough. So,
Oh, that's nice.
Already a correction and omission?
Already. Gibson said, even though he is credited as the writer, he did not write this movie.
Really?
Yes. He goes, even though he was the sole credited screenwriter, he insists to this day that it was not his screenplay that was made.
So he wrote a screenplay, but then someone rewrote it uncredited, and he's not
most
happy.
People fight for credit, yeah, right? Yeah. This is an opposite thing.
Can I ask a question?
And another thing about William Gibson, just one other thing, and then never used internet.
But didn't he coin the term? Yeah. Isn't he the person that invented the term the internet nerds? Cyberspace.
Wait,
sorry, thank
you. Now, is this before Keanu did the one with the trench coats and the...
I actually wrote that in my notes. This is Matrix Lite. Like, this is like Stephen King does that thing where he'll write like the same novel seven times and then like the seventh time.
Pets come back to life and kill you.
Yeah, and I feel like this is like Keanu going like, yeah, and then the Matrix is like the better version of
this. But that came later, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. So wonder if it got him the job, though.
Maybe. I mean, this is, by the way, peak Keanu right here.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
What is this around?
This is...
Point
Speed.
Doom?
Speed.
This is Speed? Speed Arrow? So this is like the...
This is like Keanu, before he became super serious, is still like a dude. Like, there's dude in Keanu, but it's starting to trend differently.
Now, here's the thing. I thought that Keanu was part robot in the very beginning because of how he is delivering those lines.
I did too.
No joke. Did you really? Because I really was like, this is an affect. Well, nobody speaks this way.
That movie, this
with no
did you think
inflection.
He was part robot in The Lake House?
Did you watch that? You watched that movie?
We did it for this
you
podcast.
Did?
Yeah.
And, is it good? I would watch it.
You should watch it, actually.
Well, I want to play some of the...
Oh, who is this woman?
Well, by the way...
So you never saw her again.
Here's what I thought. Hang on, everybody. I know you want to talk, but here's what I thought. I thought she... Because she's like, I'm going to go out and get ice. And he's like, I've already got ice.
Kill you.
And she's like, doesn't matter. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I thought dudes were about to swarm in and like take him out or something.
Instead,
he just gets a call.
We just watched, essentially... the worst acting class final performance of all time. It's like, what's up, Johnny? I don't know, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, why don't you come over here? Okay, Rebecca. Like, it's just, everyone's using everyone's names too much.
And it's also one of those scenes where you're like, it's just an acting class. I don't know why you had to take your shirt off. Like, it was too weird for everyone. Because he has so much armpit hair. And I'm really into Keanu. This age Keanu, I would definitely have sex with. But not with all of that armpit hair.
I would have sex with current age Keanu. I would have sex with John Wick in John Wick 3 if those casting agents are listening.
Yes.
John Wick has a three-way with me and Jason in John Wick 3. It takes a very weird turn. It's more of a sexual exploration instead of a violent
thing. And we shouldn't talk about it, although I do think we were duped into being in a movie called John Dick 3.
The guy did not look like Keanu up close.
Early days, UCB.
Yeah, he wouldn't take off those glasses. It was weird.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
All right.
But that opening scene is bizarre, and we're learning that he is this courier that carries stuff in his head. And if you are confused by that, don't worry, because that will be spoken about in every scene for the rest
of the movie. That's the one thing we do understand.
The one thing we get clearly is that something is in his head.
And I'm going to tell you what I don't like is him putting shit in his scalp. I spent a lot of the movie thinking, like, how'd they do that? Was that just like a fake scalp over his real scalp?
Fake head.
I don't know.
It was a fake head.
But that was almost as gross to me as when they pulled back Kevin Costner. He's got gills. And I'm like, oh, don't show
Ooh,
me.
Oh, Waterworld? Wait, you've seen Waterworld?
And by the way, so
this
quickly.
This is huge news.
When did you go see Waterworld?
Why did you go see Waterworld?
I don't know. And if you asked me the plot of that, I'd have a different story
but
than
you
what
remember
you guys
gills.
Saw. Yeah, I do remember them. Like pulling back the ear flap, and that reminded me the same feeling every time he would implant a chip in himself. I felt sick to my stomach.
I didn't understand this whole fucking hard drive head. First of all,
well, that's all it is, though. He's basically got like a classic iPod in his head.
Yeah, because right. By the way, it holds less than an
iPod. 160 gigabytes is not a lot,
no,
right?
No, I mean they sell like 2 terabyte drives.
Yes. Oh. That's he like basically has the equivalent of an iPod shuffle
like
in his
shuffle.
Head.
Like a shuffle.
It's a hilariously small. He basically has enough storage space in his head
for the Shrek 2 soundtrack. I
hey
own
now,
that.
You're an all-star. Get your game on. Play all that glitter. Honest, not
Don't
even
game.
Kidding. Not even kidding. That is one of Jessica St. Clair's most favorite
albums
of all time.
Wait, are you being serious?
Oh, dead yes. Serious.
And in fact, when we were doing a sketch show, I'd be like, hey, you know what would be a great song for this transition? It's like, hey, now you're not. And he's like, I swear to fucking God, if that's off the Shrek 2 soundtrack, I'm going to murder you alive.
That's what you legit would listen to is like wow. Soundtracks to yeah. Movies that were bad.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress, but.
Holy moly.
What were we saying? Yes, there's not. And also, he knows that he doesn't have enough storage in his brain.
Right.
But does he not?
He's pissed off.
Yeah, he only has.
I can't believe you overloaded
Did he lie
me.
About getting that upgrade?
Yes. Because when he goes into the first room to check his storage on like a little, like almost like the thing that would take your pulse, it's like,
right.
Whoop, full, empty, whatever. Yeah. That's like 85.
And it's like, don't exceed. I missed that.
Yeah, but he had to get like 200 or 300 right. In there, which seems like a lot more. And 320. Should have been 420, dude, right?
Yeah. Yeah, brother.
Because that's how I feel when I get high. I'm like, oh, my brain is leaking.
Uh-oh.
The data's leaking, bro.
Oh, hey, man.
Shit's getting weird, man.
The biggest...
That's my stoned character.
What are the biggest
it's not
issues
very good.
I... One of the biggest issues I had in the movie was the whole conceit is... when they're loading information into his brain, he's like, take 3 pictures of the TV and
that's
then...
That's very strange.
Yeah, and he was
that
like, and then
no
that's
sense.
The code.
That's the
password.
But they're
watching. And then fax it.
And fax
it. That's as far in the future as we've gotten, is we're going to fax you some shit.
And that was already happening. Faxing was a thing in 95.
Come
so,
on.
But
now
what a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah.
But they here couldn't was even imagine that faxes would be
faxes.
Obsolete by now.
But when they go into the room, they're watching some movie with Humphrey Bogart. He mutes it. And then when they take a picture of the TV, it's like some weird
cartoon.
But they were watching Humphrey Bogart.
Wait, did the TV... Wait, was it from the actual TV? Or was it like visually generated? I don't even want to know the answer.
I don't care.
I want to abort the question because I could give 2 shits about the answer. I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I just thought it was odd to establish it. And I also felt like there was one guy in that room who was so rude. Johnny Mnemonic is putting on those goggles, putting in his like retainer.
Preparing to have the most painful shit he's ever taken in his life.
And then he gets like cut to a guy like eating like lo mein.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, come on, dude. Why don't you watch a guy take a shit?
I would love it if some of our fans would take some of those scenes where Johnny Mnemonic is getting stuff downloaded and just put, like, diarrhea sounds underneath it and just put it online. Why not do it, guys?
And a toilet flush.
It won't take very long, and then a toilet flush.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show right now to hear a word from our sponsors. People... I have a question for you. Do you like to drink? I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about the liquor, and I'm talking more specifically about beer. And if you like to drink beer responsibly, like your good old pal Paul Scheer, let me tell you about a beer that's going to knock your friggin' socks off. I'm talking about Fat Tire Belgian White Beer. It's a refreshing Belgian white ale brought to you by the New Belgium Brewing Company. I have tried this. It's delicious. It's smooth. I like Fat Tire, even before they were a sponsor here on the show. I'll order Fat Tire, not only because their bottles are super fucking cool, but because their beer actually tastes delicious. And now I know why. They have the Belgian brewing heritage kind of put into it, okay? It's a refreshing take on Belgian-style wheat beers. I like Belgian beer because it feels like it has a little bit more of a kick to it. I don't know if I wouldn't say it has like a smoothness, like a wine smooth, but also with like a beer taste. Look, I'm no beer sommelier. I can just tell you that Fat Tire is good. How do I know it's good? Because I order it and people are like, ooh, Fat Tire's here? Yeah, Fat Tire. Let's go get it. It's carefully crafted with the finest and freshest Seville orange peel, so it just has that like right amount of sweetness. It's a delicious drink. It's not a bitter drink. It's so, so good. So why don't you sit back, relax, listen to the rest of this podcast with a Fat Tire Belgian White right now. You can find it wherever you want because you go to newbelgium.com. It's newbelgium.com, and they will tell you where you can get Fat Tire. If you're living in a local city, you're going to find it everywhere. But if you need to find a wholesaler or a supermarket, just go to newbelgium.com. Spoke to you a lot in the past about Squarespace. Well, Squarespace is amazing. It's an amazing platform because you can get your presence online in a way that looks and feels hip, unique, and up to date. That's right. You're going to create a website. You have to make it look of the now, and it will stand out with the beautiful templates that Squarespace has. Let me tell you something, okay? Stop fucking around, okay? You are talented. You're writing great blog posts. You have great products. You own a location, or guess what? You just want to make a kick-ass website to put a picture of you shirtless or bottomless going like, yeah, dude. That's what you got to go to Squarespace for, to build websites so people can go, yeah, that's the person I want to hire. That's the person I want to date. We are all in this world where if you're not online, you're nothing. You're a piece of garbage. You're a piece of shit. So Squarespace is going to help you get to the top of the pile. That's right. Squarespace has analytics that will help you grow. They will have customer support that you can get to them anytime you want. I've used them. They're great. And it's optimized for mobile right out of the box. So whatever you create that looks good on your website is going to look great on a mobile app or whatever you want to do. You're going to pull it up. People are going to be impressed by you. Destiny is calling. Pick up that phone. Hello? What? Make a new website? Well, with who? With Squarespace, goddammit. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. All right, now back to our show.
I also never understood why he needed to put on the goggles, too, because it was like he was putting on the goggles to see, but he wasn't seeing.
Well, the thing is, he's like, he puts on the goggles a couple of different times.
Yeah.
The time when he's in a computer store and he just cobbles together
a virtual
reality.
I don't like
this. What don't you like? Do you think he was looking for the G-spot? What happened there? What You're gross.
I really, really didn't like that.
What didn't you like about it?
Everything about him building his own computer.
Oh, by the way, when he does make a long distance call, dials the number and then pulls the country over, it's like, seems odd that seems like on one extra step. You have to know geography to make a long distance call now.
So
like if you
weird.
Have the number on a regular telephone, you don't need to also look at a picture of the country.
No.
Yeah.
To be like, well, I've got the number. I'm calling Canada.
Do you think that
get me the map.
Do you think that AT&T was psyched to be, like, involved in this? Like, I would, if I'm AT&T, I'm like, you, what? You let them use our fucking logo for this? Why? This is a dystopian future.
Also, the place they were at is called Bob's Crazy Computer Store. That's where they like randomly show up at. So stupid.
I will say this movie, in my opinion, has the best character actors in the game. Like Udo Kier, Ice-T.
Rollins.
Dolph Lundgren. Henry Rollins.
And there's nothing that gave me more joy in this movie than Dolph Lundgren getting killed by a dolphin.
I mean, that's poetry.
That's some fucking genius level shit.
By the way, I would argue this is Dolph Lundgren's greatest role.
Hey, we're talking about
ever.
Jesus, the guy I mean, looks like Jesus.
Let's leave out
Ivan
the guy
Drago?
From Rocky IV. Yeah, Drago. Oh man, Creed II is not going to be good, huh?
That's just an aside?
Yeah. It's like Stallone's like, got it now. I got it. And we're bringing back everybody from Rocky IV.
Oh, no, it's going to be Expendables in the ring.
Yeah, not into it. But he is a badass.
Oh, and also, sorry, just on your list of badasses, Beat Takeshi is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And is fucking... I was like, what a waste. You've got like one of the fucking best badasses in the world. And he's like hardly in it and then is dispatched easily. I was heartbroken. No. Let's just sit in this silence for a couple minutes.
All right.
I also like...
I get it. You guys hate Beat Takeshi.
I don't know any of the people you just said. I don't know the parts they played, and I don't care. Go on.
What I did like also is, like, he's supposed to be this elite courier, and his passport name is John Smith. But we're, like, and his name is Johnny anyway. Like,
and also,
why do
like,
they need to put it in a human? Why does it have to be transported by a human brain? If they have this internet and he's going to upload it, why don't they just upload a chip?
I think the idea is it's safer inside of... They could have put it in his stomach or something.
Well, like
you could lose a thing, but if it's in... I don't know. If it's inside of you...
If they didn't know
then
that...
Then you killed a person. I mean,
if
like,
they weren't after him, it would have been a 1-2-3 deal. It would have been easy.
Yeah, but like a 1-2-3. Yeah, a classic 1-2-3 deal. Which is apparently,
like the old phrase,
apparently a thing we're talking about.
1-2-3.
Yeah, a classic 1-2-3 deal.
You know, you get it, you do it, you finish it.
Then you finish it.
1-2-3 deal.
Jessica, how did you feel about the fingers in the broccoli?
What? Oh, you mean the fingers that got cut off?
Yeah.
Oh,
they have cut to the shot of fingers and broccoli.
I didn't know there was broccoli involved.
Oh.
I was so upset by it. It was so fake. And then it was all burned up and disgusting. I just, no. And wait, did somebody else's whole hand get sliced off?
Was that the same movie? Frozen.
Yeah.
It made me watch so many movies in the future that they're all combining in my head. Yeah, somebody's got frozen and then sliced off.
And then smashed. And then Udo Kier got cut in half
by the laser whip. Not a lightsaber, a lightsaber whip.
That's the only thing about the movie I liked.
Yeah.
I like how you could be like, slice. But answer me this. That nail.
Yeah.
Is that part of the laser?
Yes. That had the thing.
I didn't realize that.
Coming out, like that's what it
would, that was.
It was
the
like,
thing.
A measuring tape.
I see.
You pull it out, like it has that little clip.
Why when
that
he would
I liked.
Why would he would go when he would go A, I hate about the internet in movies like this that they structure it like it's a cityscape.
Yeah.
Like when you go into the internet, it's like skyscrapers and like these are the roads and it's like that's no, A. And B, why would there then be flashes of like comic book characters? There would be like cartoon characters.
Or why at the end did he become a figure of a person?
And
in the internet.
And double himself.
Oh, there you go. He's doubling. Well, great. Explain what that means to the person who has no fucking idea. Don't say it like I'm an asshole.
And then
like,
he gets attacked by the virus, and the guy goes, don't worry, that's just the double.
And then...
Who cares?
And then he, like, unravels, like a poster of another character. This fucking thing.
This movie was a giant pile of shit.
Or was it amazing? Or was it amazing? For Paul how terrible
amazing.
It is. It has the dolphin, I feel like,
the
takes
dolphin?
It to an amazing level.
Okay, I am shocked, because I've heard a lot about this movie. People have been telling us to do this movie. Somehow, and I've never seen it, I have escaped the knowledge that the dolphin was part of the movie. So when Ice-T goes, "This is Jones," and they cut to a dolphin, I was like...
But that's a bold move.
And...
That's a bold move that cements it into icon status. That's why you had the laser disc. Not because you were such a sad person, which you were. You know, coming from a broken home, etc.
Yeah, like a kid coming home, a latchkey kid,
right,
opening the door, watching this movie on laser disc,
right,
making yourself a grilled cheese sandwich.
And like a Lunchable or something, you know, like a pizza roll.
Guys, I led a very exciting life as a latchkey solo kid. It was a very 1-2-3 existence, you know?
1-2-3 deal.
1-2-3 deal.
Paul, can I ask you a question about this movie? How did you feel about the numerous attacks on bald men in this movie?
Well, now looking at it with the lens of being a bald man, I thought it was pretty racist against bald men.
Hey, okay, I just want to be clear. Yes. You think bald is a race?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah.
There are numerous people who are called Baldy, or like people are being like throughout the movie. I was like, another bald joke? What is this?
And the bald guy also was wearing Lawrence Fishburne's coat from The Matrix. The first guy. Very big collars.
Next time knock, Baldy, was one of them. These guys get it.
They get it. By the way, this movie does have so much good, weird future stuff. Like, whenever you're in the future, you gotta go to a club. And this club was great. It was a punk opera club.
Yep.
Best character in the entire movie was that lizard woman.
When that scene ends and Udo Kier and that woman are like, I was like,
I knew you loved
super
that.
Turned on.
Because also, like, you know that she was taking every second of that screen time.
Because
even when other people are talking, she's just like, ooh, crazy eyes in your face. I love that woman. And they were doing shading like the Kardashians. Like, that's how they put on their makeup, like, on a real tip.
That's why this movie to me is like, every scene just ups the ante. It's like, okay, I get it. Oh, wait, there's a preacher who answers a phone in a Bible? I'm back in. And then, like, a couple more scenes go on.
Like,
everyone's dressed like they're extras from Waterworld? Okay, back in. These two side characters are speaking with, like, a crazy-ass lisp. Like Sam Jackson and the Kingsman. I think I love this movie. Yeah.
I think I might love it now. I love it.
This movie... pushes
if you're gonna
crazy.
Make me watch it, I'm gonna like this type of dystopic
movie. Pushes crazy, and stuff was cut out. Apparently, they tried to make the movie more family friendly, but Jones, the dolphin, was addicted to heroin.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough water to swim in.
Yeah.
I felt bad about
that. Oh, by the way,
they
were mistreating that dolphin. That is not enough room at all.
That wasn't a real dolphin. I'm just kidding. Obviously, it was. I worked with that dolphin on Dirty Grandpa. The dolphin is very talented.
We need to talk about the monologue.
Go ahead.
I want somebody to learn it and perform it.
I was going to write it before the show.
I did. I wrote it down.
Oh, whoa.
I'm not going to perform it, though, because it really should be performed.
Can I perform it?
By a gentleman. Here we go. I don't know if I had every line. Hold on.
Let's see.
J-Bone. That's what I'm officially changing my name to.
I'm J-Bone. I run heaven.
Yeah.
What?
By the way,
The list of character names is bananas. It's wild.
Here are some of the names.
I want room service.
Oh.
I want the club sandwich. I want a $10,000 a night hooker. I want my shirts laundered like they do in the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. So that essentially is what is motivating our hero, his desire for a club fucking sandwich. That is why we are going on this journey.
The most relatable thing is high class hookers and a club sandwich, not getting my memory back of my childhood and understanding who I am.
By the way,
we're like solving the world's, you know, yeah, curing the world's illness.
When you do get a glimpse at what his childhood was, it looks pretty good.
Oh, I thought it looked eerie as shit.
Oh, really?
I felt like I was like, is this like flowers in the attic kind
That's
of
That's your own lens, here? Paul. That's like your own lens you're looking at it through.
I was like, this doesn't look so bad.
No.
And like a birthday party with kids who are like paid to be there and like balloons. Oh,
wait,
Paul,
whoa. Paul. Paul.
Paul.
You're
Paul.
Wait,
Paul.
Did your parents
a birthday party at Roy Rogers?
What? Pay for kids to come to your birthday?
Not all of them, just a handful to flesh it out.
This is very sad. Like these are harrowing tales of a childhood spent alone watching horrible movies on Laserdisc.
The only bright spot of the movie.
I didn't even have the Laserdisc at my house. It was at my dad's house. It was all a weekend thing.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Paul.
I just had VHS copies of R-rated movies that my dad edited out the nudity and extreme violence of. Like
Risky Business was like 5 minutes long.
I had Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
It was 15 minutes long.
Like when I finally watched it much older, I was like, oh, there's like a whole other movie in here.
That is the cute. That is truly cute.
I love your dad, like up at
that's
night.
That's really
being
cute.
Like, okay.
Editing.
Record like reel to reel.
My dad had no problem with the extreme vulgarity of Eddie Murphy talking about everything, but just nudity and boobs cut out. Can I just play a little bit of the monologue because it's so good?
Listen. You listen to me. You see that city over there? That's where I'm supposed to be. Not down here with the dogs and the garbage and the fucking last month's newspapers blowing back and forth. I've had it with them. I've had it with you. I've had it with all this. I want room service. I want the club sandwich. I want the cold Mexican beer. I want a $10,000 a night hooker.
Fix the pants.
I want my shirts laundered. Like they do at the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo.
By the way, great performance. Hamlet-esque, he's literally on a mountain. But I will say this, and I thought this when I was watching it, didn't he just have that like the day before yesterday? Like, wasn't
Isn't
he
that when the movie started?
Yeah, like this is only 48 hours at most later. Like,
maybe he's forgetting it. Maybe there's too much seepage or whatever, and he's already forgotten Rebecca and the hotel he woke up in. With the ice bucket.
Or unless that was a dream. No, but he talked to Ralphie.
I don't think so.
He talked to Ralphie. The name that guy definitely is not.
Yes.
Udo Kier is not a Ralphie.
Also, what was Ralphie's ethnicity? Or country of origin? Because he sort of sounded
German.
French, German.
I think he's German. Udo Kier's German, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was indeterminate to me.
Well, I was also curious about
From Bad Guy Land?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
also, like,
the original
if somebody blows smoke into the camera while you're talking to him, don't trust him. That's how he ended everything. It was a... It's like, maybe don't do what he
everything,
says.
Everything oral for him.
Yeah.
Smoke, tonguing, all of it.
The street preacher, I want to figure out, is he religious? He's a robot man. But
wait,
is he a robot? Well, he said he's more machine.
He's had a lot of upgrades.
Oh, upgrades. Yeah.
So if he's more machine than man, is he really practicing or is that just a front?
Well, the first thing I thought is June has told me that at a certain age, you can't have your hair be too long. And I fought her on it for a very long time.
Talk to Crystal Gale.
By the way, talk to the director of this movie.
He looks like that because that hair is too long.
Take a look.
Oops.
The director of this movie is rocking a ponytail down to his nipple.
That's a straight up braid. That's a braid.
I think it might be connected to a nipple ring.
It looks like the ponytail is trying to get in his breast pocket.
Yeah, like a little mouse he'd have in there.
It's like his own ratatouille. It's a ratatouille tail.
Yes.
That rat tail directed the movie. Make him do the monologue on the mountain. Okay, I will. I will let him.
We need to build a mountain. What?
There's so much to talk about. Oh my gosh. Iced tea?
Ice-T was my northern star.
Best part.
When he showed up,
I
was like, we're safe.
Movie.
We're safe.
Yes.
Whenever he was there, I was like,
Thank
he's
God.
Got us. He's going to take us somewhere that makes sense.
Yep.
What is it about Ice-T that gives us that feeling of comfort?
Because you just...
What is it? What'd you say?
Even looking as insane as he looks, I really was like, thank God, someone is going to be here to make sense of this.
Yes.
And well, even though every line he had was gibberish...
Insane.
Jargon nonsense, it still was helpful.
He
it
delivered
was.
His lines
it
in this
was.
Movie like he does on SVU, where he's across the room, he's like, oh, murder, rape, suicide, I know about that. And then he just comes over, drops a shitload of exposition. We're going to hear a little bit about his acting process here, which is in this clip that we found online. Avril Haley found this clip. This is him promoting his new album, but...
But see, he's having the time of his life. You know that he, wherever he is, even the movie sucks, he's like still having a good time.
Here is Ice-T talking about his acting.
All right.
I just kind of just read the lines and bring, you know, whatever flavor I have about myself into the character. No, I ain't trying to pat myself on the back, but nobody else in the whole world is doing it. Nobody else. Nobody else is rapping, rocking, acting, and an author. Nobody in the whole world. So I'm a world champion at something. The first five movies I ever been in, I had my name above title. Only person ever had their first three movies black was Sidney Poitier. So I'm sitting around here tripping off of what? So now I'm like out to conquer everything and I'm just having a good time at it. So no, it's still, to me, it's like I have balls. Like I got my rap ball I'm juggling, my body count ball, and my acting, and I'm just like trying to keep them all up in the air.
Well, now I don't feel the same way.
And by the way, I agree.
By the way,
I agree.
Just so you know, as he's saying that, he is dressed in full character with the anarchy symbol.
Oh, yeah, and the line drawn across his face.
Oh, oh my gosh.
He could have been a little more humble, I think, in that clip. I don't know. You know what I mean?
He's got a lot of balls. I also wanted to see a map of this movie because I felt like they just went to three locations like a bunch.
Super quick.
Yeah.
But also like, oh, you have to be in Shanghai. Ooh, you got to go to Newark. And everything is like, boom, I'm there.
Right. But then they just spent most of the time in Newark,
right? Yeah.
Which, by the way, doesn't look so not like that now.
Well, not a lot of people know. They did not
set dressing
in Newark.
Yeah.
They just shot.
They just shot it.
That's right. Yep. Taking shots at Newark.
We are not going to be able to play Newark ever.
Ever.
Oh, boy.
this is a cliche. We talk about this before in the podcast. Like, the idea, like, when you're really freaked out, you, like, got to splash water on your face. Yeah. And I'm like, is that a real
thing? Never done that.
And now as a father, I have done that a couple times, and I find it actually works. It's a nice little pick-me-up.
Wait, why does having a child...
It's very similar to being trapped in the internet like this, to have a four-year-old freaking out on you.
I think there's like moments where you're like, I'm up at, like the other morning, my kid got up at 3 a.m. for no reason. He's like, I'm up. And then didn't nap again until like 6 p.m.
You got to tell him to cut that shit out.
Yeah. So I did a little splash of water around 9:30, 10:00, and I was like, I can get through this. I can try that. But the thing that I always see also that was a thing is like one of those things like, hey, look over there at that light. And then you turn back and the person's disappeared.
Oh, yeah. That I have that too. Why does that always happen?
That's not a thing that could ever happen, right?
And mustn't you hear their footsteps?
Yeah.
Or there was some scene where somebody got lowered in an elevator behind them and they just like kept in like just staring at each other. But there was clearly like a crane.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show right now to hear a word from our sponsors. Podcast fans, here's the deal. Spotify is going to make it very easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, or smart speaker. All you got to do is open up that Spotify app, click on the browse channel, and then go to the podcast section. You'll be able to stay thoroughly entertained during your commute to work, drive home, or downtime. Thank you, Spotify. All right, now back to our show.
Well, let's talk to the audience a little bit and see what they have to say about Johnny Mnemonic.
Here we go.
All right. I'm going to talk to this gentleman right here. All right, sir, give me your name and just make up any sci-fi term that could fit in this movie. All right, so we have a lot of different things. Just put two words together, like nanophone, done. You did it. So whatever sci-fi term in your question.
By the way, they do have an iPhone in this movie. He says, yes. I need an iPhone,
yeah.
Only it's EYE.
It is EYE.
Because I know, because I watched it with closed captioning on.
Okay, your name?
Oh, my name is Ollie.
Ollie, and your futuristic term?
Interpunk.
Great.
Good.
So the Dolph Lundgren's character...
Street preacher?
Right, the street preacher, he's apparently... His whole deal is that he's contracted by the head of the corporation to kill Johnny Mnemonic, and he's going to get, like, a big pay out of it. But the head of the corporation, like, dies, and then he's still trying to kill Johnny Mnemonic, even though nobody's going to pay him. Why?
Honor.
I mean, all I'm going to say is clearly you've never been hit by a truck, and I think he was pissed the fuck off.
Does he at some point say, Jesus jam, right before he punches some... Jesus time?
Jesus time? Like, what time is it?
Jesus time. Okay, I thought I said Jesus jam.
And if you're a preacher, isn't it always Jesus time? Like, if you're
well, I think
if you're
Sunday, a pre- Sunday is really Jesus time.
Is it though? I mean, isn't it?
Maybe that's like, God time.
Yeah. Oh wow. And then what time is it? What time is Holy Ghost time?
That's Wednesdays.
That's Wednesdays. Wednesdays.
Sir, your name?
We're cracking religion wide open here in Boston.
Your name, your made-up future word, and your question.
Patrick, robo-priest.
Great.
And it's actually still on the priest, so Bono was originally supposed to play him.
Ooh.
Really?
So I'm wondering, after seeing the movie, why you think he dropped out.
Well, I mean, I think we all know. By the way, I honestly think that Dolph Lundgren would do a better job than Bono.
Much better.
Right.
Oh, I'm wondering if did that Mick Jagger piece of shit movie you made me watch last night? Come out before?
I can't remember that far.
I don't know.
I don't remember years.
I think that came out before.
I'm just wondering if I was Bono 92. And I saw Mick Jagger in that piece of crap, I'd be like, I'm not doing that.
All right, ma'am, your name, your futuristic word, and your question.
My name is Amy, and my futuristic word is Oculus Wick.
Ooh, nice.
Nice. By the way, guys, Amy, winning so far.
Yep.
Thank you. So my question is, if he's, like, trying so hard to buy his way of, like, getting his 80 gigs of whatever out of his head, why is he spending $10,000 a night on hookers?
No, that's just what he wants.
Yeah. You can have ambitions and dreams, and also on. I'm gonna run up to the second level because they deserve love too.
Get ready, middle balcony. Prepare yourselves. You better have some good fucking questions.
While we're waiting, ooh, it's coming back, guys. While we're waiting, could someone tell me what the plot of The Matrix is in three lines? Because I'm never gonna see it. I'm not joking. I want to know.
You know there's three movies,
cocktail
right?
Cocktail party, conversation. What are my buzzwords?
Paul's up there now. It doesn't matter.
All right. Ma'am, your name, your future word, and your question.
Meredith. My future word is Digiborg.
Great.
I just wanted to have a discussion about...
How far did you get on that date the other night? Well, I Digiborged her. We digiborged for a little while. It was cool.
Did you digi her board?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
I'm a kind of a young lady. Okay.
I don't think Meredith likes being called ma'am.
Sorry. Sorry, young lady.
Jason, I'm from Lynn. Watch out, okay?
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Lynn, the city of sin. You never come out the way you went in.
Never heard it before. I want to talk about Keanu's companion, whose name I can't remember.
Jane.
And her mesh chainmail shirt.
Yes.
And how about the fact she's not wearing a bra with that?
That's what I want to talk about.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Talk about some chafed nipples.
God, exactly.
Los nipples.
And I also want to
think you're pronouncing that right.
90210.
Sorry, what did you say,
Mary? 90210. What did she play? Brandon's girlfriend? Was that Brandon's girlfriend for like
was
a summer?
Was that Emily Valentine?
Yes! She was so
Wait,
beautiful.
Wait, who is she?
She fucks Brandon, guys. Yes. Wanna rewatch that.
Guys, her name is Dina Meyer. I did a movie with her called Piranha 3D.
No
big deal.
No, you did it. She's beautiful.
She's great. I loved her in the movie.
She's beautiful.
All right.
But I thought she was great.
Up, she should have had a bra.
I disagree respectfully.
Your name?
I thought it was great that she didn't have a bra on because you know what? I feel like a bra is a symbol of the patriarchy and I am firmly committed to toppling the patriarchy.
That's great.
Your name, your futuristic word, and your question.
All right. My name's Lacey and my futuristic word is neural bifurcation.
Great.
I just think it's worth noting that the brain is estimated to store about 100 terabytes of information, so that's about 0.3% of what he's downloading.
But for Keanu.
And also, the brain doesn't have any pain receptors in it, so the fact that he's in pain makes absolutely no sense.
I love it. I love it.
That is a fucking smart question.
I love it. I feel like that's an MIT student right there. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Your name, your future word, and your question.
Scott, micro dolphin. And so the dolphin has got all this Russian surplus technology in it. They never at one point in the movie mention how they got that. It's all like Singapore and Newark.
But didn't they say that he was like going after Russian ships?
They said he was tracking.
Because didn't they use dolphins in real war times?
Yes,
they did,
I think
right?
So. That's something like that. I don't know. Your question is, where did they get the tech for the dolphin? Yeah. You watched this whole movie, and your question that you want answered is, hey man, where'd they get that Russian tech? There's a fucking dolphin whose mind incinerates Dolph Lundgren. Who cares where the tech came from? What's wrong with you guys?
And even if we had that answer, would it be interesting to anyone?
Yeah. What would satisfy you as an answer?
A
scene in Moscow where they're like, we're missing a bunch of tech. I hope no one put it on a dolphin. Get out of my show.
We should have stopped taking questions with that brain one. That was a real winner. Sir, your name, your future word, and your question.
My name is Bill. Future word, justjohnny.com.
Okay.
I really feel like we haven't talked enough about Henry Rollins in this movie.
We haven't at all. That's great.
I agree.
Great question.
Great. What do you want to say about him?
I think Henry, he's great.
I thought Rollins was... Again.
Who is he?
He was Spider. He was the character Spider, right? Was his name? Right? Yes, Spider. He was Spider. He was the doctor. Okay,
yeah.
So he's. Do you know who Henry Rollins is in general?
No.
Henry Rollins is like a. It doesn't matter, guys. Everybody chill out. Henry Rollins is that. It doesn't matter. He's a musician. He's a lead singer of the band Black Flag and then had his own. Interestingly.
But is he an actor?
Rollins,
an actor?
Sort of. Rollins.
Exactly.
I believe Rollins and Ice-T Body Count were the first Lollapalooza together, right?
Okay.
Which I saw at Greatwoods.
Greatwoods.
Right? That's what it's called, right?
And Jason, am I right or wrong that Johnny Mnemonic did an opening comedy set?
Johnny Mnemonic opened and did a...
He played Hey Now, You're an All-Star. Yep. Sir, your name, your future word, and your question.
My name is Max. My word is Cyber Bridge.
Great.
My question is, Johnny gives his speech where he wants a $10,000 night hooker and a beer, and he pouts in a pile of dirt, and then his bodyguard immediately falls in love with him. What is up with that?
He showed his vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
Women love it when you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'd love to see men cry, complain about shit. We'd love that. Wine. That really turns us on.
If a man is strong, it's unattractive. Right. When he whines,
yeah.
Then it's like, ooh, la la.
Yeah.
I think one of the best ways to woo a woman is to tell her how much you want to fuck a $10,000 hooker.
That gets me
every
time.
They really fall in love with you. All right, this is going to be our last question, unless it's bad.
Ooh.
A lot of pressure.
I have not a lot of hopes for the last question being from the upper balc.
All right. Your name, your future word, and your question. I'll hold the mic.
Okay. It's going to be bad. My name's Tony.
Terrible setup, Tony.
Tony, I believe in you.
Tony, let's do this.
Cyber, it's a mammal.
Cyber, it's a mammal.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
I didn't understand the movie. Who was the woman in the computer?
Who was the ghost in the machine? Great question.
Great question. Tony.
Tony.
Give it up for Tony.
Tony wins. Who is that woman? At first I thought it was a digital therapist.
I thought it, a what? Wait a minute. You thought it was a digital therapist?
You would have like a digital therapist who would like, when you needed help, would just be like, hey. Like, hey, don't call him back. Not now. Take a deep breath.
Is that what your therapist
Maybe
does?
Maybe take a bath and then see if you want to call him back.
Well, because in the movie, she's like, remember your dead daughter?
Yeah.
And you thought she was the digital therapist trying to help him get through the grief of his dead daughter.
Right. But then she was everybody's therapist, so then I couldn't understand.
So kind of like Siri as a therapist.
Exactly. Yes.
That's what you're going with.
Yeah. What was it?
What must it be like to watch a movie from inside your head?
It's a lot like being in that dolphin's head, probably. Loaded with all that Russian tech.
Okay. Paul, do you know who that woman
Paul, who's
yes,
that woman?
The woman was Thank the head you. Of the corporation, and she was put in there. She's running the corporation. I don't know how she was put in there. She's a ghost.
She's not anymore.
Was her
in
consciousness?
Charge.
No, she is in charge.
She's dead.
They said that she's been running the corporation from her morbidity.
Yes, she's dead, and but she's, her like consciousness is in the computer.
Yes.
Okay, let's all freeze for 1 second. One of you dum-dums has the actual answer. Who is it? Raise your hand. This guy right here, Paul. This guy seems like...
All right.
Trust this guy.
Don't grab the mic. Be cool about everything, bro.
All right. Explain the ghost of the machine. If it's good, we'll let you tell us your name.
Sure. Okay.
And what better reward could that be?
So basically, Pharmacon... doubled this woman's consciousness as to serve as, I think that gentleman over there, as an advisory capacity, not in a full-on, like, oh yeah, she's in charge. It's like, oh yeah, she, you know, I guess they never wrote anything down. And then we find out later that she's actually, as someone over here is shouting, oh thank you, is actually Johnny's mom.
Wait, what?
What?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
No, Noah. I gotta get this guy's name. What's your name?
My name is Will.
Thank you, Will.
What?
Wow.
What are you talking about, Will?
How did I miss that?
Give it up for Will!
Will!
Wow.
Holy cow.
Will, that was amazing.
Will.
This dolphin seeped into my mind in a really crazy way.
Oh, no.
I did an episode of the show I did, NTSF SDSTV,
yes!
Right?
Yes, you had a dolphin
And
in
we had a dolphin who was in a prison,
yes.
And he was a super smart Hannibal Lecter dolphin.
Yes.
And I realized when I watch this, oh, that triggered some thing in me. I was like, oh, yeah, it should
be
a dolphin.
Wait, it was not an homage?
Nope. It was, but not
data,
conscious.
It was data seepage.
It was seepage. Obviously, we've had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Here we go, Boston.
Here we go. Got these two.
Come on.
These two. Both of you. Those two. You got one? Three. Four. Come on. Here we go. All four. That's it.
Wait a minute. We know these people.
Do we
know you guys? No. Okay.
Great.
Forget
all right,
it.
Come on forward. And even if we did know you, it's fine. It's now time for second opinions.
Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Well, I hate this fucking movie, but they've got second opinions.
Yeah. Good. What's your name? Ronnie. Great job, Ronnie. Come on forward.
I'll give you that.
And good now job. It's time for a second opinion.
You obviously think your opinion is a fact, but I'm here to say that you're just full of crap. Your opinion might be first, but mine will be last. It's time for second opinions.
Woo! Yeah. Samantha, give it up for Samantha.
Yeah.
All right. And our third opinion is...
Hey, now, we watched a movie. It wasn't great for us, but hey... There are second opinions that you'll say all five stars are gold.
Marry me! Will you marry me?
Did you just write that?
Did you write that now, or did you just wrote it?
I
think that's amazing. Well done. See, he's here watching the show and creating new material.
Duet? All right, and we're going to end on our final second opinion, a duet.
Look at this cute outfit. Cute.
If you see a bad movie and you leave a review, then it's five whole stars to the...
Second opinion! Second opinion. If you're scrolling through some Amazon reviews, looking for a second opinion. And I'm going to end right there.
Yeah, give it up. What are your names?
Great work.
Amy and Tim, everybody.
Nice work.
What?
Don't get greedy.
She asked for the pin. She got it.
She goes, she was like walking off, and then she goes, can I get a pin?
Yeah, women asking for what they want. Yes.
All right, people. We're literally running out of time.
No. We're locking the doors. We're staying here all night. What's that? Oh, no. I'm being told we can't do that. I'm so sorry. If it was up to me, you know I would spend the whole night with all of you, except a few of you, because you're weird.
All right, everybody. So here they are. These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. There are 200 reviews of this film. 40% of them are five-star reviews. And here we go. This is written by AB... 3200, and it was written in March 18th, 2013, and it's called A True Classic, if you ask me. When I heard my husband had never seen Johnny Mnemonic, well, that was enough for me.
Divorce.
I immediately ordered him a surprise gift on Blu-ray. What a great movie. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Ice tea. Awesome. Jones, who doesn't love dolphins? And we both wish we had laser fingernail lassos. Five stars.
Here's the thing. That's amazing. If I was to find myself married, and the woman that I loved was like, oh, you've not seen this movie? This is like my favorite movie. I'm gonna get it for you. Surprise, here it is. Let's watch it together. I would most likely divorce that person. I would be like, what do you mean you love this? What do you mean you love Jones? Who are you? Who are you? Literally, who are you?
Edward M. in 2010 wrote this review. The movie was definitely prophetic and thought-provoking. My brother does research on radiation, radio waves, microwaves, cell phones, etc. And we are literally awash in a sea.
That guy's brother works at Radio Shack, for sure.
And we are literally awash in a sea of this stuff. There are numerous health issues, which this movie, in an entertaining way, addresses. I enjoyed the characters. Great casting. 5 stars. Then we go to this one, a real classic by C.L. Levitt. They have a Keanu Reeves? 5 stars.
Wait, so for this reviewer, there are multiple Keanu Reeveses in the world.
Yes.
And isn't it lucky that this movie got one of them?
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm going to just say, wait for it on this one. It will be worth it. I won't reveal who wrote it. I'll just say the title is Beyond Corporate Control. It's a little bit long. A fascinating film about people who refuse the modern slavery imposed on the corporate trust that governs and controls the world through dependence on data processing machines that create a nervous disorder that is both incurable and catching. The models of this underground vision are numerous. Here, he sets in the guts of an old decaying bridge, so overground and underwater, in between two banks, it does not join anymore. Great! The most original element is the brain uses a data transporting device that can be hacked or pirated since it's not going through a digital network. And the last load of data comes from China, the future of the world. Though it is ridden with riots and rioting crowds, the anti-Chinese communist element, it has to be taken to the USA, Newark, mind you, to be offered to the world for its own salvation by the underground resistance, aka the American Boy Scout do-good syndrome. Then the other interesting elements are more isolated elements here and there than structuring elements. The dolphin that this poor Johnny obstinately calls a fish is a nice piece of animal and mammal lore that makes the dolphin-saving intercessor of humanity. The criminal Christian preacher who crucifies his victims in the name of Jesus and God is a wink to the fake Christians who are selfish and interested and even greedy with the money and the bigots. Signed, Dr. Jacques Couldier, University of Paris, University of Paris 1, Pantheon Sorbonne, University of Versailles, St. Quentin. That was a professor's review.
I would love it if it was like, hey, Jacques, can I talk to you in my office for a second?
Yeah,
so,
wait.
We've come across a bunch of your Amazon reviews, and
yes?
You are 100% fired.
Oh.
Because you are a crazy cuckoo bird.
Okay.
And
they wouldn't give me money for my grant on Johnny Mnemonic, so I'm going to give it to the world for free the five-star review
My dissertation
section.
Is written in Amazon reviews.
Johnny Mnemonic came out in 1995, and the tagline was the ultimate hard drive. It also was the hottest data on Earth in the coolest head in town.
All right.
By the way, both of those are fine by me.
Guess what?
Like, I'm into both of those as titles.
I'm into this movie.
And you know what?
You love this movie.
I love this movie now.
And this is like one of your stated hatred, like
and
dystopic future
it.
Movie. You like
now
it.
Now I love it.
Wow. Yep.
She's all on board.
Is there a soundtrack?
Yes.
Purchasing it. What is the whole sound? Is like ding, 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 ding.
That's what it's going to be. That's what it...
By the way, the soundtrack
By the way,
was...
I would buy an album that is just you doing what you think the soundtracks of movies is.
Three different people composed the musical soundtrack. It was Longo, the director, made one, but that didn't make
it. Wait. Longo, first name and last name?
His name is Robert Longo.
Oh, okay.
And he directed 2 REM videos in this movie.
That's Rat Tail? Mr. Rat Tail?
That's the director with the rat tail, yeah.
Rat
Tail.
I think he should get rid of his first name.
Now,
and just be like, hey, Longo.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up here tonight, I'm going to tell you one thing. We all watched this movie. There's one person who did not. Her name is June Diane Raphael. And this is June's best guess on Johnny Mnemonic.
Hello, Boston. So sad to not be with you guys. So happy to have not seen Johnny Mnemonic. This title makes me upset. And I only have so many hours in the day. I'm really glad I didn't spend them on this film. However, I am sad to not be with you all. Paul asked me to take a wild guess at what this movie's about. Ugh. Ugh. I hate this movie so much. I feel like it's probably about this guy, of course, fuck Louis C.K. again, who, I don't know, has some sort of weird disorder where he's constantly being triggered, everything's triggering a memory that he has repressed. Or maybe he goes in for routine surgery and someone installs a chip in his brain and gives him, like, the memories of someone else. That's actually an interesting film, and I'd watch that. But I don't know. I'm not getting a ton from the title. All I know for sure is that I don't like it. I don't like it. But I do like you all. And I hope you guys have had so much fun and have a great, great show.
That was June.
By the way, she came really close.
She did. And that's based on, I mean, believe me, June has no idea. Like, some people will be like, oh, Johnny Mnemonic, that's Keanu Reeves.
I know what that is, yeah.
Yeah. No, she has no idea. The movie came out in 1985. The top three movies in 1985 were Toy Story, Batman Forever, and Apollo 13. And in terms of how did this get made movies, this movie was beaten by Congo, Mortal Kombat, Judge Dredd, and Virtuosity. And it did beat Fair Game, the movie. That came in higher. The budget was $26 million, and it made $19
million. Wow.
And
I'm actually surprised it didn't do that. Some of those movies did better than this.
Yeah, I know.
That's shocking because as terrible as this movie is, and it's legit terrible, like some of those movies are like whoa, not good movies.
Well, apparently there is a better movie in this. The Japanese version is 10 minutes longer with more scenes about Takashi.
Is
yes.
Meaning there's a longer version. This isn't a remake of Japanese movie.
No. The Japanese version of this movie.
I wouldn't believe that.
And they just changed camera angles, and apparently it's better. And it's more violent.
I will say a lot of my problems with the movie were camera angles. I felt like if the angles were different, I would have understood a lot more what was going on.
We have to wrap up the show, so I'm going to say this really quickly. Jess, you want to promote anything? Tell anybody anything?
Womp It Up is coming back November 25th, I think. And we're going to have them every week.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so that should be fun. And Playing House Season 3 is on iTunes and Amazon, so check that out.
Great season. Jason?
You can watch on Netflix, there's an animated show called Big Mouth that I am, thank you, that I play a character on that is very funny and very dirty. So if you want to see a really funny, dirty show, watch that. And that's about it.
And I'll plug a new TV show that's coming out on Hulu. It's called Future Man with Josh Hutcherson. I have a couple episodes in there. It's by Seth and Evan, who brought Sausage Party to you and the interview. And great. And you can get to see why I would fuck Miss Pac-Man. That's in the first episode.
Can I plug? I want to plug one more. When is this coming? This is later.
Unknown,
this
yeah.
is the future.
Yeah.
So there's a show on whatever CBS All Access is.
Oh, that comes out. Yeah.
That comes out soon called No Activity. And it's terrific. And it's hilarious. I just am not sure how you watch it because it's something called CBS All Access.
It's an app that you have to buy like Hulu. I do it because I watch Star Trek.
Do that and watch the show.
Oh,
No Activity.
And you and I are both on Lady Dynamite, which is just came out today. But this is
did.
Yeah,
great.
Lady Dynamite season 2.
And The Disaster Artist.
And Disaster Artist in December, May, June, Jason, all that. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I'll answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right, we only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial-free, and if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial-free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun, and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week, because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now. Okay, here's the deal. You own a business, right? And you need to make sure your shit is in order. Well, let me tell you, you got to meet Namely. Namely is the all-in-one HR, payroll, and benefits software program that employees love to use. How do I know? Because I've talked to them. That's right. I've gone out in the field and talked to people who use Namely. You know what they say to me? They go, Paul, I love it because I can schedule vacation time. I can clock in and I can just do it from a desk or on the go. And I go, thank you, John Q. Worker or Jane Q. Worker. You really helped me in this little thing that I just did, which is a sociological experiment about people using Namely. And they go, okay, cool. See you later. I go, yeah, not really, because I think this is all of our interaction that we'll ever have. Anyway, here's the deal, people. Namely is great because you can use a social feed to share company news and give shout-outs to a job well done. Over 1,000 companies use Namely every day. Will you be the next one on the list? I hope you are, because if you're running a business, this is going to make it smoother. It's going to make it easier. Get a free demo by visiting Namely.com/bonkers. That's Namely.com/bonkers. Build a better workplace with Namely.
Hey, I'm Hari Kondabolu.
And I'm Ashok Kondabolu.
We're the Kondabolu Brothers, and we're excited to tell you about our new podcast on Earwolf, Kondabolu Brothers Podcast. It's a live podcast where we discuss some of the harder issues of the day.
You will be witnessing two brothers talking to each other and occasionally acknowledging the audience.
We discuss such topics as World War I, Kenan Thompson, pizza. We're excited for you to listen to Kondabolu Brothers every Thursday on Earwolf. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.